Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba. This is your spiritual breakfast, 7 to 9, and you know, half past 8 to 9. Alhamdulillah, every second week we have Hazrat Mulana Musa Akudi Damat Barakatuhu educating us, informing us of his beautiful trips and experiences and lessons that we can take. Today, inshallah, we'll be speaking about taqwa. Sustenance as well. Let's welcome Hazrat Mulana Musa Akudi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Hazrat Mulana?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Maaf, Mulana, Mulana tried to call. I was just busy with the program. How's Mulana keeping? That's the big question.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, Mulana. I see you speaking about the trips. Inshallah, Al-Aziz, we'll speak of some ulama in the future also who did some lovely trips. You know, my Honorable Sheikh Mulana Zulfikar Lakshmandi Damat Barakatuhum traveled to Russia. And, you know, his experiences in Russia are wonderful, you know. And he's written an entire kitab on his travels to Russia. So, you know, the whole Russians, you know, Central Asian area was all Muslims. If you take, you know, Uzbekistan, where the great, you know, Tashkent and Bukhara, where Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi came from, where Khaja Bahauddin Naqshbandi rahmatullahi alayhi, all came from these areas. So you got Samarkand and you got all those areas there. So it's a very, very, very interesting story. Maybe you can carry on over 2 weeks or so, or maybe longer on that. So, you know, it'll urge and give the people a desire to visit these places. I always say, Molana, you know, and this is for our listeners as well. Let me just greet our listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, the honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba. You know, the most important thing is we must travel to such places where we can take heed and get some lessons. And I always encourage that we must go, mustn't travel to any, you know, man-made places, you know, because these man-made places, most of them, with a few exceptions, they actually take you towards indecency, behayai, immodesty, a life without taqwa. You can speak about Disneyland and all these particular places, you know, but if you go to Allah-made places, you know, you go to the Victoria Falls, and that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a noble Quran, you know, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا. You know, those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing, sitting, and lying down, you know. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And they ponder in the creation of the heavens and the earth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely open up all these manazir to them, and when they will see the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so manifest in nature and places of Islamic history, you know, in these particular areas. So in view of that, I think it would be very, very to instill in our hearts the taqwa and the piety, and, you know, travel to these particular places like Tashkent and Bukhara and Samarkand, you know, Persia, you know, the old Persia, maybe, you know, areas like Iran, Iraq, all these particular areas. Or you can even go and visit, the Indo-Pak subcontinent, and you can see the great strides in Islamic history that was perfected by the Mughals in the Mughal Empire. You know, the Shah Jahan had built the lofty Taj Mahal, you know, in commemorating the passing away of his wife, so people say. And I had an opportunity to go and visit the Taj Mahal on a moonlit night, an outstanding aspect of beauty. And before I speak about that, let me tell you about Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayhi. Once my uncle, Marhum, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him Jannah, he came to India. And, you know, he sought permission for me from Maulana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayhi to go out and go and visit some places. So Maulana gave me the permission. So I went with my uncle and we went to to Agra, and in Agra we had a moonlit night, you know, and we stayed in one of the hotels there nearby, and it was very, very beautiful. But when we set our sights on the Taj Mahal, it was so impressive. It was absolutely beautiful to think that over 400 years back, the Muslims could have built something like this here. And then we had a guard also, a guide, you know, we paid him a little bit, and he took us, and he was telling us that, you know, the minarets of the Taj Mahal are built at a slight angle. And if there is an earthquake or anything like that, those minarets will fall outward. You know, I was in Jebel Baluz, and when we went to Turkey on an aid mission, I remember, just after the earthquakes. And on our way, a distance of maybe 100 or so kilometers, maybe 60, 70 kilometers from the sites where the earthquake had hit the most, you know, we saw, you know, the Turks built beautiful masjids with tall minarets, that the masjids were intact and the minarets had actually completely fallen to the ground. So we witnessed that as well. So well, they took that planning also into consideration, that if there's any movement in the earth out there, then the minarets of the Taj Mahal will fall outwards. And then there was even, you know, the intricacies, you know, of the decoration, the embedded marble with precious stones and different color, glass. It's absolutely stunning that every piece of marble was actually grooved, and another one was made to fit similarly into that particular groove in absolute perfection. You know, so this is the way that it was built, and then they would put the torch shining on the one side, and maybe, you know, 12 inches or 15 inches away, a particular flower, you know, would just come to light, that the light would travel through this marble area and come alive. It was absolutely beautiful. If you went inside and, you know, the guy says, Allah, and you just say Allah, then you would find resounding, you know, right across, Allah, 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 Allah. You find that, you know, the sound traveled. And it was absolutely amazing and very, very beautiful. And then the pathway that leads towards the Taj Mahal as well, you know, they had a water wheel that they would turn, and from the little holes that were in the marble, the water should come out in the form of flowers. And, you know, there would be this continuous fountain that you would see. Absolutely amazing. And we went down to Fatehpur Sikri as well. Beautiful, beautiful. The Red Fort that was built by the Mughals. And then the Qutub Minar. All these are beautiful, beautiful buildings. You know, the footway, the pathway that leads to in the Fatehpur Sikri, in the Red Fort in New Delhi. The blocks are maybe a meter deep. You know, our paving is about 75 millimeters. These were meter deep because the elephants and everything would walk on this here. And they had a show there, probably till this day, which they call the sound and the light show. And, you know, you sit at night in the garden of the Red Fort. And then, you know, you'll hear through the speakers, you know, the Mughal emperors are speaking, and then there's discussions in the court, etc. And you will hear from right to left, you know, the horses with their hooves, you know, moving along. And you'll hear the various sounds, like so realistic. We call it the sound in a light show. And then there, you know, when the British were coming to overtake India, they had, you know, these areas were so beautifully built that around the forts, etc., they had wide expanse of maybe over 10 meters of a dugout area, you know, like a moat, like a trench. And they only had a dedicated area from which people could come in. And they had their cannons and etc. up there. I mean, the Muslims were the first to invent gunpowder as well. So they were very, very, very advanced, you know, in the field of architecture and everything else. And, you know, they would keep maybe dangerous, ferocious animals in that little area in between. So nobody would come through those areas. So all these things are taken into consideration. In fact, I saw the system of air conditioning where they put this kaskas. Kaskas is a kind of a grass. It's a very beautiful perfume if you can lay your hands on it. Very, very sweet smelling, especially for the summer months. They call it kaskas. And the mats were made out of the grass of kaskas. And then they had tiny holes at the top. And it was connected to tubing that you cannot even see. And then the water would drip on these mats, you know. And then what would happen is the breeze should flow through past the mat and cool itself. Exactly like how you find water coolers, you know, that work. And it was absolutely amazing and beautiful. You would get a fragrant smell on the other side, which today's air conditioners don't even give you. You know, you had all these things here that was built by the Muslims. So it was very, very interesting. I remember we went to Jaipur and we went to Udaipur as well. You know, we sat on the elephant as well. And then we went to one of those, not a planetarium or whatever it is, but anyway, it was a building that was put up by the Mughals, and there was embedded mirrors on the top. And then, you know, the guide there who was showing us around, you know, stood in the center of the dome, and he lit two starlights, and he took the starlights, and he moved right and left, you know, he was swinging, and it formed a pattern of a star above, you know, and as he was turning left and right, you find that the star was moving. So, and then even the bathroom of Mumtaz Mahal, you know, we had a chance of seeing that. And, you know, in the olden days, they had these Turkish baths. Sometimes we as students, I know in Bombay, there were a few places where they had these Turkish baths, like a big swimming pool full of steam and everything. And then on the side, you would find that somebody would rub you down, you know, and give you a scrub and give you a good cleanup. You know, even in Spain, where it is mentioned that the Spanish should only bath twice a year. And then when the Muslims came, they taught them what is the meaning of cleanliness and tahara. And it is one of the cities, you know, in the old days that was completely planned, the cities of, Cordoba and all those particular places. So these were very, very, very beautiful cities, all built by the Muslims, planning roadworks. You know, garbage disposal, you know, sanitation. Everything was taught, you know, to the world by the Muslims, who did everything in perfect harmony and in beauty. Now, the bathroom, the entire bath area of Mumtaz Mahal was so fascinating that they were convex mirrors, small ones, placed into the, you know, into the entire wall right around. And when the guy just lit one matchstick, the reflection of each matchstick went into each mirror, and the whole area became illuminated like over a couple of thousand bulbs that just come on. So it was absolutely fascinating. You know, the British found one area where the water would pass cold on the one side and come out hot on the other side. They say there was approximately 7 layers of cork. And as the water should pass by, there was just one small flame at the bottom. And the way it was designed, that the water should come hot on the other side. Even in Ahmedabad, Ahmedabad as they call it today, there are two minaras that they are built in sync. You know, they're synchronized. If the one minara, you shake it, the one on the opposite side also shakes. So these are remarkable, remarkable buildings. You know, when I went to Kashmir also, I remember, you know, there is a masjid, the Shahi Masjid in Srinagar. It is about 800 years old. And the entire masjid, columns and everything is built in just with a wood structure. And there they have an amazing setup, you know, on a day of Jumu'ah, when they put a little bit of a stage in the front, you know, next to the mihrab, and then, you know, they have various speakers. So it's a big, big, thousands of people come to that particular masjid. So there's so much you can speak about the architecture, you know, in these particular places. I remember last year I went to Kerala in southern India. It was so beautiful. I mean, our people spend their money going to the West, you know, or going to Dubai. What do you see in Dubai? All you see in Dubai is entertainment and sin, you know, the capitals of sin, you know, in the Arab world and everything there. And there may be a few places of exception, but otherwise everything lures you, you know, towards evil and towards sin. So if you went to Kerala and if you went to the hill stations, you know, absolutely beautiful, the forests, you know, the tigers and lions, absolutely stunning and beautiful. I remember, you know, going to the tea plantations and the whole process of how tea is made, you know, I mean processed from the plants, you know, how these people work in the plantations, you know, women with children on their back, and then this is the upper leaves, they trim them, and it falls into a container, and then they collect all that one side, and then the green tea, you know, is the cream of the crop, and then how it is the best and pure tea, and then how they roast it a little bit, and then you get the black tea, and then the different types of teas that are there, and you know, they're packed in beautiful tins and everything as souvenirs for people to take. So that is also absolutely fascinating, you know, and the various lakes and the backwaters are very, very famous. They have these huge boats, and on these particular boats they have like two or three bedrooms, and then you have a whole deck on which you can sit and relax. And I remember, you know, the memories are vivid and fresh where you go into these backwaters and you go in with these big sort of like houseboats. And I remember we stopped with the houseboat and we bought some kingfish and we bought some prawns. You know, at one of the areas nearby, we disembarked from the boat and we got back onto the boat. And then we went to go and, we had the cook prepare this kingfish with salads and everything and prawns on the boat itself. And then he presented it to us. These are all, you know, etched in our memories. You know, whenever you go anywhere, your cameras cannot capture the beauty, you know, and the emotions and the feelings of, of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those places. The cameras, only your heart can capture it. So, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. We also went to a place known as Chinaman, you know, where the Sahabi, they say, was a Sahabi is buried there. And so, you must remember that the area of Kerala is just across the Arabian Ocean. So the Sahaba Kiram came there, you know. There was a case of Shakul Qamar, where the Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had split the moon into half. And there was one of the Maharajas there, you know, who was a non-Muslim. And he witnessed this here, and then he embraced Islam as well. So there's so much to see in the East, you know. Tashkent and all these particular areas, and India as well, Lahore, if you see all the Mughal architecture and everything there, which is not very, very far off from India as well. It's absolutely fascinating. Kashmir, if you go to, you know, your mouth will be wide, gaping wide open to see the stunning beauty in Gulmarg and, Yusmarg, Sonmarg. There was a place I went to. It's on the Chinese borders. And I remember this is the first time that I went horse riding. So we would take our horses and each one horse, and we would be led all the way. And the horses were taking, you know, the little steps, step by step. And then we tied our horses to the trees. And then we went up and we saw these glaciers that are hundreds of years old. You know, we walked up the mountain. Absolutely fascinating and beautiful to see the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, another Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say the sun is 93 million miles from the earth. Now, what would you expect? We are here on ground level. And when we are flying with a plane, we're so many thousands of meters in the air, right? They'll tell you, you know, the altitude. And then you'll see, they show you on your screen, the degrees outside is minus 54. Common sense would tell you, right, when you are in the air, you are closer to the sun. It should be getting hotter as you go up, but it's freezing. It's minus so many degrees. So if you go on to Mount Everest, you know, in the border in Nepal as well, it is freezing, those particular mountains. So look at the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think, you know, you'll ponder and try and get the answers of these things. It's absolutely amazing. So I remember we went and we saw these glaciers. It was absolutely stunning, you know, beautiful, etched in our memories. That was in our student days. And when I came down from there, I remember we were five of us, and we got onto our horses. And then, believe you me, I never ever sat on a horse at gallop, you know, going slowly, first time on horseback. And then you're trying to pull those reins to keep those horses back. But the horses are getting back home, boy. They need to get to the stables. And they were moving it, and we were just holding the seat with one hand and holding the reins in the other hand. And somehow, you know what I mean, he just came back. But it was exciting. I mean, take your children, go and teach them how to ride horses, you know, Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teach them some archery, and you'll see how much you enjoy it. So yes, coming back to Marana Masihullah rahmatullahi alayhi, so when I came back, we sat for a while in the majlis, and then Murana Masihullah asked me, he says, ye akudi jo hai, ye unke mamu ke saad Agra Taj Mahal dekhne ke liye gaya tha. Pata nahi, wo kis niyat ke saad gaya tha. You don't know what intention he went, you know, with his uncle to go and visit Agra. If he went just sightseeing, to khair aankh se kuch dekh liya, he saw something with his eyes. But, you know, the true reality is, as he says, if, you know, he looked at it from a different angle and vision, then his trip is fruitful. So Azraji said that in the time of Hazrat Isa ala Nabiyina alayhi salatu wasalam, in the time of Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, he said that magic was at his peak, you know, witchcraft and that. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Hazrat Musa alayhi salam a mojiza and a miracle that outsmarted the magicians of the day, you know, and he excelled, and the magicians all, you know, prostrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the magicians of Iran. And then as he spoke about the Isa, in the time of the Isa alayhi salam, you know, medicine was at his peak. I mean, you look at the old times and everything. According to that era, you know what I mean, they make some strides in medicine and etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Hazrat Isa alayhi salam a miracle that surpassed that, you know, that he would put his hand over the lepers, you know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would grant them shifa. And to this extent also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the miracle of the waking up the people from who are dead. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Hazrat Isa alayhi salam such miracles that you couldn't even fathom, you know what I mean. Then comes the time of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, they should hang their poetry on the doors of the Kaaba. The Arabs excelled in poetry. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an everlasting miracle. And that is the miracle of the noble Quran, to be suratim min mithlih, you know, wadu shuhadaakum. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that come forth, you know what I mean, with an ayat, a verse of the noble Quran, you know, if you can ever stand in contest with the noble Quran. So there is nothing like it. All the miracles of the Anbiya were for particular times, but the miracle of the noble Quran is a miracle that remains forever and forever. And you're absolutely astounded, you know, I mean, 3-year-old children reading the Quran and Majid with such perfection and beauty. 5-year-olds who have memorized the noble Quran. Oh, you can just say, you know what, there's no, like Mufti Saab says, show me one person who has memorized the Torah in its original form. Even in the translation form, bring one person who has memorized the Injil, you know, the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. You won't find them. So Murana Masihullah rahmatullahi, he mentioned, he says that that was the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, ho sakta, it's possible that for 400 years or so back, you know, maybe the architecture in the world, what did he speak? I mean, you'll find that the Romans built the Colosseum, And then you'll find the Leaning Tower of Pisa. You know, people go out to go and see all these particular places here and everything. And then, you know, the Sikhs also have built some beautiful gurdwaras and all those type of things here and everything. And then you'll find that mandirs were also built with the fashion idols and everything on it. And if I tell you some stories of the idols, you'll be absolutely shocked, you know what I mean. That they put up all these idols, they carve them out with their own hands, and then they worship the things that come with their own hands. So a friend of mine was traveling from Mulana Ismail Taraja Marhum, Rahmatullah Ali, you know, and he had one of his Hindu friends with him there, neighbors who were living in the area. He says, now, you know, where are you going to, Bharat? Then he says, I'm going to India. Who come was there, what you going for? He says, no, man, you know what, we had an idol and the idol broke, so I'm going to go and have it repaired and fixed. So he asks, where's the idol? They say, no, the idol is in the hole. So he says, I'm shocked, man. Tu a behelo che, you are sitting here in comfort and your idol is down there at the bottom. No respect whatsoever. So that was the condition. So anyway, they carve up all these idols and everything, like the UAE now, you know, they gave a venture open to the Hindus to come and put up, you know, a remarkable structure of theirs. And you know what? Promoting idolatry in Arab and Muslim lands, you know. And so they put up this architecture, you know, they just try to fascinate the imagination of people, but just showing them their ignorance, you know, turning towards stones and statues. And so all these things you see. I mean, I've been on tours, and I saw, you know, areas where they are mandirs in which they worship the lingam. Lingam refers to the private part of a male, and yoni means the private part of a woman. They've actually got a lingam, you know, carved out, and people are coming to come and kiss it, you know, in the mandir. I was absolutely shocked. So these are the things that you see. So Maulana Masila Rahmatullah says that architecture was at his peak in those days. If Shah Jahan had this intention, then I'm putting up the structure to leave a memory behind, you know, for the entire world to see that the Muslims were far ahead in building these structures than any other nations that existed in that particular time. Then he says it is full of sawab for him as well, because his niyat was good. But if he had put up the Taj Mahal just for the sake of, you know, as a mausoleum for his deceased wife, then he says that, you know, Islam doesn't even encourage that. So I wonder what his intention was. So we just hope that his intention was, because all the Mughal Empire, I mean, they left behind all these great, great, huge buildings and everything, you know, for posterity to see how the Muslims ruled, how organized they were, how well structured the governments were, etc., and how the military, etc., was. You see all these things here. So inshallah, we'll learn from these particular aspects here, you know, how beautiful it is. So yes, inshallah, we'll try and now travel to Central Asia in our next meeting and speak about the journeys our Akabirin had in these great lands. And it'll be good to put a trip together, maybe going to these areas. And Maulana, there was some time back where I just spoke about a book that's available. And somebody wanted to find out from Maulana Zaha, Suleiman, regarding what is the ISBN number of that book or so. So I've got, I spoke to Maulana Jina. It's roughly, the value is about, cost is about 100 rand, 85, 90, 95 rand or 100 rand or so. Okay. So I have got one of my friends who's now in Medina Munawara. And if anybody wants any books, you know, they can let you know by today, so that I can just tell that person to bring me those couple of books, you know, maybe three or four or five books Maulana has got, so you can pack your 4x4. Maybe I can join you as well. And then we go to all these places with the Saraya, the smaller battles that taken place, and the Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam visited, the different wells, Bire Roha and Bire Shifa, etc., set up camp for the night and stay in those places. Oh, it will be so exciting and beautiful, Maulana.
Jazakumullah khair, Maulana. Inshallah, we'll speak about this in our future discussions, inshallah. We appreciate your time, Maulana. Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.